I'd like now to welcome to the program Martha Egan. She is a fiction writer. Her latest book is called An Apricot Year. She will be speaking at Collected Works Bookstore on Thursday, the 8th of March at 6 in the evening. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you back. And we have talked about your short stories and novels in the past. And this time you decided to do what kind of amounts to a love story.
You think it's a love story. Okay.
Don't you think?
It's a love story, and it's about a middle-aged woman coming of age.
Yeah, exactly. Getting rid of her mean, nasty, stupid, violent husband.
But what do you really think about him?
And it's a little hard to understand why she was ever with him in the first place, because she seems like an awfully nice, amiable lady.
I think, like a lot of people, she came from a kind of a closed community. And in her era, which was, you know, 20 years ago or so, or no, more than that, let me see, when she was in her late teens and early 20s and going to college.
And that was the 1960s.
That was the 1960s, and you got married, and she got loaded one night and ended up pregnant. And in that era, a nice Catholic girl, you better believe she got married.
And ended up having four very nice, amiable children whom
yes.
we love.
Yes.
And then has her 50th birthday. Her husband ships her off to Santa Fe. The pretext is that she's taking a painting class, but the reality is that he's having an affair and he wants to do it behind her back.
Yes. And, well, at first she's thrilled because she's always wanted to be a painter, but being a traditional wife and mother, she's never been able to really indulge this passion of hers and this talent. And the little bit she has been able to do of that has shown her that, yeah, people do like her work, and she could maybe make this. So when her husband and children give her this trip to Santa Fe to study painting for a month, she's absolutely thrilled, and she starts out, and she's having a wonderful time.
For about one day.
It's a little longer than that. It's a little vague, maybe, in the story, but she's here for a while. She's painting and just really having a wonderful time and enjoying being in New Mexico in April in shirt sleeves, and whereas back home in Green Bay, you know, you'd still be bundled up and it'd still be kind of grisly weather. And she gets a call from her youngest child, who's a senior in high school. And her daughter is totally flipped out and says that Luli needs to come home right away. And Luli discovers that her husband of 28 years has taken off with the family's former babysitter and probably cleaned out the family bank accounts.
And one also has trouble why the babysitter would have anything to do with him.
Some women have terrible taste in men. What could I say?
And the story goes on from there, and she meets some lovely people in Santa Fe. She saves a man's life, and that man who she saves becomes the linchpin of what happens next.
Yes. Yes. I think, I wanted to explore friendship, and especially friendship among people who maybe under other circumstances would not be friends. The couple, traditional Hispanic couple that she meets in Santa Fe, take her under their wings, and they are wonderful and generous. The old man, who is a chronic drunk that she finds in a parking lot, basically dying, turns out to be a wonderful person. He never can get rid of his alcoholism, but he tries to do the best he can, and eventually he does Luli a really wonderful turn.
So, and since we don't want to give away the whole book,
no.
we won't talk about what that is. But the theme of apricots, both as a color, and it's a beautiful color of the book, and as a fruit and as a metaphor, are part of what the book is about.
Yes, yes. I noticed that in Santa Fe, just about everybody plants an apricot tree, or there's an old apricot tree, like the one in the Gustav Bauman print on the cover. This is the Bishop's Apricot Tree, kind of an archetypal Gustav Bauman print from the 20s sometime. People still plant apricot trees, although they often do not produce any fruit whatsoever for years. And that's because if a late frost gets them, and that's often what happens, you won't have any fruit.
So and if you do have fruit, they're all over the street.
Yes, big orange plops everywhere. The birds like them, but it can be really messy. Yeah, and because the trees have not been properly tended, the apricots tend to be really small and maybe not very tasty. I don't know.
Yeah. But at the same time, the idea that the apricots are ripening and Luli is coming of age.
Yes. And in the shadow of this tree that her new friend, Rosalba, tells her she's sure it's going to be an apricot year. And when it is an apricot year and you get this incredible bounty, you have to take advantage of it and do everything you can to preserve and the apricots.
And so there's this idea in the book of, that's a metaphor for taking advantage of what you've got when it's offered to you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Now, was the art of Gustav Bauman an inspiration for the book in any way?
Well, I kind of don't remember. I don't think it was very much, but once I settled on this image, then I kind of worked it into the story maybe a little bit more and made it more significant. That's not the usual way that you do a book, but it's kind of the way I do them, books, because I'm doing my own publishing, and I really like to use original artwork, and I've always loved Bauman's prints. They're wonderful.
Well, they are wonderful indeed.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, do you publish anybody's work besides your own?
No, and I've been asked about that, and the reason basically is because when you have a small press and you're doing publishing, the two things that are extremely difficult and very expensive are marketing and publicity. And I don't have the capital to do that for somebody else. I barely have the capital to do it for myself. It's really expensive. The book business is in a state of transition, and nobody knows really what it's going to look like in another 5 years. But I also don't think that I would be very good at handling somebody else's work. It's a huge responsibility, I feel. Yeah. And I would not want to do a half-baked job. At this time, I just can't do anybody else's work. I can give people ideas of how they can do it themselves.
Now, do you make your work available online or as e-books or anything like that?
We're moving into that. I've been resistant. Because I'm an old fogey, but we are moving into that, and we expect to have all of my fiction books available as e-books.
Martha Egan, you will be part of a panel discussion for this event on Thursday night of next week at Collected Bookstore with Victor DeSouvreau, Gershon Siegel, and Carrie Armour. And how did you assemble these three folks, and what is the panel going to be about?
The panel is going to be about one of the subjects that's very important in my book, which is making a major midlife change. And Santa Fe has been for a long time a mecca for people coming from other parts of the United States and actually internationally to start life over again, usually in middle age. Some people have been forced into making a decision, like my character, because of divorce, separation, death, company going broke, or whatever. But many people have chosen to come here and with different sorts of expectations. So I asked around, and we kind of settled, a group of us sort of settled on three different people who two of whom are in Victor de Suvero's book, as are you, Why We Came Here. And the third person is Carrie Armour, and she has been in Santa Fe just a few short years, and I thought that her ideas about Santa Fe and her impressions of Santa Fe would be fresher than the impressions of those of us who have been here for 20 or 30 or more years.
Yeah, I mean, in this book, you had to write from the perspective of somebody seeing it for the first time, which I suppose is a little tricky to do.
Mm-hmm. It is. You have to kind of remember back. You know, when I came the first time, it was in the mid-60s, and I went to Taos, and I just remember the pinon scent. It was late November. I went for a Thanksgiving. It was just magic. And so I try to recall that wonder and talk to other people about what their experiences were when they first arrived here.
So this is the, I think, third or fourth work of fiction that we've talked about here on the air. Are you working on yet another one after this?
I have two books that are in my mental hopper. One is I am going back to nonfiction and redoing a book that was published by the Museum of New Mexico Press in 93, and that's called Relicarios. And it's about religious miniatures, and it's quite a different tack from what I've been doing, but this is something that I have been studying for more than 30 years, and I will be in South America for the month of May doing more research.
And you've been an art importer for decades.
38 years. Yeah. And then I have another book that's a little further down the road, and it is another piece of fiction, and it's about being a kid growing up in northeastern Wisconsin in the mid-50s. Childhood isn't what it used to be, and so it'll be a little nostalgic, but I think it'll be fun.
Martha Egan is author of the new novel, An Apricot Year, and once again she'll be at Collected Works Bookstore with a whole panel talking about the book, talking about the ideas in the book, Thursday, March 8th at 6 in the evening. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Mary Charlotte. I appreciate it.